Are you recording now?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead. There's this song by Skillet called Anchor. You guys got to hear it. If I get a chance, you got to get Skillet by Anchor. All right, let's do a quick review. When we look at 2 Samuel chapter 15, David's going through this process. Lined up here. One. Ooh, this is a good marker. Cross, humble. Step two, and we say that because he's barefoot as he's going up his ascent to Mount Olives, the place where Christ's second coming is going to take place, right? In his return of the kingdom. So David's kind of walking through this path where he's going to return to. It's just awesome the way this all lines up. So he's going up Mount Olives. He's humble because he's barefoot. How's he going up? He is crying, weeping over what he's going through. But he's not the only one doing it. Everybody that's with him, his servants, his followers, they're going through the same process too. Everybody with him is following him in this same path. One, humble submission. Two, repenting. Three, does he get bad news on the way up? Yes, his best friend, all right? His best friend, his counselor, one of his friends, his counselor has turned and joined the other side. He gets bad news. But he doesn't curse the guy. He just says, he sends up a prayer to the Lord. He says, Lord, turn this guy's counsel around so it doesn't take me out. Three, he gets to the top of Mount Olives in chapter 15, and he starts to worship. So we've got new life, new hope, resurrected. I'm starting to feel a little bit better about my situation type deal. And he gets good news while he's up on the mountain. Hushai shows up, his friend. And the plan is now set in motion for him to be restored. It happens at the end of worship. Worship is an important part of getting relief. Step four brings us to the beginning of chapter 16. Ziba shows up and they get full or they get refreshed. Or they get power to be able to continue on this wilderness journey. Got it? Here is where many Christians fail. We're so happy that we are redeemed. We're so happy that we are saved. Let me put it to you this way. God had a plan from the beginning. Amen. Amen. God had a plan for the children of Israel from the beginning. What was it? Promised land. God has a plan for us, and it is not step 1, 2, 3, 4. It is all the way to step 7, where you have peace and mercy, and the kingdom is restored, and you get your stuff back. God had a plan for us to go all the way from 1 to 7. When he created Adam and he put him in the garden, from 1 to 7, God had a plan. Here's what happened. That's the plan. Somewhere along the way, somebody screwed up. Adam sinned. And we got off track from the plan. Anybody ever know that in your life, God had a plan for us initially, but we got off track from God.
Amen.
We got consensus here? Everybody got off track? Amen. All right. So everybody's been off track from God's original plan. So God had to come up with a way to get us back on track. So he takes us to step 1. He brings his son and the cross. And when we humbly submit to Him, I owe you, Al, I missed your birthday, I was doing something else. It wasn't the same, but you got celebrated.
Yeah.
Instead of criticized and ridiculed. And sometimes God will move some folk out of your way for a season and you enjoy His goodness. Because the Lord knows I would have clowned. Anyway, so. Al, I'm so sorry. I owe you big time, man.
All right.
That's what happens when you get old and you don't put things in your phone or whatever. I just know I'm not doing anything. I know I'll be at Al's birthday celebration or whatever. And oh my God, I was out at the prison doing my. I
didn't like wine though, Chuck.
Pardon me?
I get better with age.
Somebody fill them in for me. All right, here we go. So, step one. Step two, we repent. We turn from going off course. Isn't this wonderful? Three, we get back on course. That's why the gospel is the good news. I can get back on track with what God wanted in His original plan. And then four gives me the power to finish the course through His Holy Spirit. Here's the problem. We're so happy about being redeemed and saved that we stay right there. The redemption is important, but the redemption only gets us back on track for God to complete the work and the plan in us. Sometimes we get so caught up with, I'm just so happy I'm saved and I got a relationship with God, that we miss the point. He didn't die for us just to be redeemed.
Amen.
He died for us to complete the plan. So David's going in the process because God's plan for David is for him to be restored. So David goes through this process. We'll get back on the Ziba thing a little bit later on because he makes a bad decision there. If you're at level four, you got to make sure you do the right thing. So this brings us up now to verse 5. And when King David came to Baruhim, behold, thence came out a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, son of Gera. He came forth and cursed still as he came. All right? So, we got this guy coming out. And I've got something in my notes here I want to make sure, because I went through this and I learned how to say some of these names or whatever, and I want to make sure I say these names right. And that wasn't one of the names that I looked up. Okay. Let me tell you a little bit about verse 5 out of 2 Samuel chapter 16. They're in the area or the region, and that city is a city of the tribe of Benjamin. So these are Benjamites. Now, if you know anything about Benjamites, Saul was a Benjamite, came from the tribe of Benjamin. This guy is from that family or from that tribe. They were loyal to Saul. So he likes Saul. He would have preferred the Benjamites to be in charge, but they're not anymore because David has taken Saul's place. This guy comes out of the woodwork and he starts cursing or talking about David. I want to put yourself in the story, but look at this from a natural perspective and put it into a spiritual context. All right? Okay. He cursed as he came. Verse 6, he cast stones at David and at all the servants of David, of King David, and all the people and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. I want you to look very closely at verse 6. Tell me what's going on. Now, you got to understand the scenario here. David is in the wilderness. He's in retreat. But while he's in retreat from what he's lost in the world, he is in progress or in progression of getting closer to God. So he's in right standing with God, because it's only when you're humble and you're broken, you lost some stuff, that you realize, man, God has a plan. I'm sinking back up with God. So he's losing his stuff, but he's gaining the kingdom. He's losing the stuff, but he's gaining his spiritual relationship back with the Lord. That's getting stronger, even though he's losing stuff. But as he's going through this tough time of transition, he gets more bad news. Somebody is talking about him. Somebody is working against him. All right? Now, if you've never had that happen to you, where, all right, where you're trying to do better and people are working against you, all right, you're trying to have a solid relationship and people are working against you, or people are talking about you because of what you believe and what you're trying to go to, then this might not be able to be relatable to you, but this word is for somebody, or for somebody that you know. So if it hasn't happened to you yet, maybe you haven't been in the wilderness long enough, but somebody's not going to like you or going to work against you when you're trying to do the things that God wants you to do and get lined up. So expect it to happen. How can you say it's going to happen? Because it's happening here in this story. And let me tell you why else it happens. Because if you look at verse 6 again, he cast stones at David. I'm going to read this again. Al, I don't know what your funny version says, but he cast stones at David and at all the servants of David, and all the people and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. I want to go back to verse 6 again. He cast stones at David and at all the servants of King David. He's been called David for a long time, but now all of a sudden he's called King David, all right? And Shimei is throwing stones not only at David, but also at who?
His officials.
Not just his officials, but who? What's the scripture say? His servants. Oh, wait a minute now. And it's not just servants of King, of David. It's the servants of King David. Here we go. Relevance for today. Do I have any servants of the king in the house?
Yes.
Really? Mm-hmm. Expect people
to help you,
to throw stuff at you, to work against you, because you are following and are with the king. It is part of the process. I don't know why God allows stuff to happen to us like that, but somewhere in the scriptures he says, count it all joy. Don't think it's strange when you go through various persecutions and things like that's some strange thing. I'm following the Lord and stuff is happening to me. It's part of the process. He gets glory from it some kind of way. So they're going through, and everybody that's following him is going through. Is anybody getting anything out of this?
Yes.
Can anybody see themselves in this?
Yes.
Chuck, it goes to Christ and his followers, people. And then it goes all the way up to God the Father. Jesus is on the right hand, Holy Spirit's on the left hand. People still casting stones at the believers.
So you just had to bring Jesus into this.
Yeah, I have.
He's here.
He's part of the equation.
He is the equation.
Jesus got persecuted for being connected to the Father. In fact, the sign over the cross was King of the Jews. Falsely accused, but they got that right. And the disciples are scattering because they get persecuted for being their followers. But you still have people like Shimei that will curse and work against you. And if you're not careful, you'll get caught up in that too. Come on now, Peter. Because he's hanging around those who are working against the work of Christ. And he starts cursing too. So, don't count it strange as you go through your journey. You know what? See, here's how crazy I am. If we figure out how David made it through this, if we figure out the steps that David takes and what he faces to go through this season, I'm crazy enough to think that the story is in there so that we can emulate that, replicate that, do the same. And if we do it like David did it, we might get what David got, restoration.
Amen.
Fulfillment of the plan. But let's keep going. Put Jesus in that like that. Is that interesting? Okay. And it's interesting because Jesus is going to restore the kingdom at this very site, Mount Olives. He comes again, Zechariah chapter 14. All right, but let's keep going. I digress. Oh, wait a minute. There's something else in verse 6. Al, what does your funny Bible say?
He threw stones at the king and the king officers and all the mighty warriors who surrounded him.
Wait a minute. Did you catch that? Mine says all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. I like what Al's Bible just said. Say that again, Al.
He threw stones at the king and the king's officers and all the mighty warriors who surrounded him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mine says though all the troops and the special guard were on David's right and left.
That's why you said special God. Got it. Somebody ought to be praising God over this. Think about it. He's throwing stones and curses at David and the people. The people are suffering because they're following the king. Amen. I don't have a problem suffering following the king because there's a reward on the backside of this. And, of course, trouble won't last always. Amen. I keep following the king because I know the plan. And it's not to leave me here in the wilderness. I'm going through the process of transition to move to where he wants me to be. But here's the key. Is David alone? Could God have delivered him just by himself? Because he's God. But God is allowing this to happen so that others are going through it with him, Christ-like figure. But does David need these other people around him? If you don't say yes, I'm going to start cursing
yes.
Like Shimmy.
Yes.
So if God is allowing other people and servants of David to be with him and around him and go through this thing with him, it must be part of the plan. Wait a minute. Now, I just said something. It must be part of the plan. It must be that God is telling us through this story, we were never designed to go through this by ourselves. I want to see how David responds so I can get the same results. And I'm sorry, as a guy, it's sometimes difficult for me because it's not cool and sexy and manly as a dude, and I've been a dude all my life, to tell anybody that I need help. Oh, son, why'd you say pride? So I took my daughter to the store one day. I know I've told this story before, but we got some new people or whatever. And we went to Walmart, and we're looking for something specific. The plan is that I'm looking for something specific. And I'm dragging my little girl through the store with me. She's with Daddy. And we're going up one aisle and down
of it. And after a while, my daughter says, young kid, not even a teenager yet, I don't think, or whatever, so she ain't been in the world that long to be telling Daddy anything. And said, Daddy, why are we here? What are we looking for? And said, I'm looking for this little jump drive, this thing or whatever, and it's around here somewhere. I know it's here. We shall find it. And then she said the most ludicrous, crazy thing that I had ever heard anybody say. Son, will you stop talking crazy? My daughter said to me, Daddy, do you think we ought to ask somebody where it is? I said, are you crazy? No! We will find this thing on our own. Now I'm going to ask you where I'm at on that spiritual map from 1 through 7. Why am I not on the map? Because my pride says I'm going to find this thing on my own. I don't need no help from anybody.
You said Walmart, right?
Yes.
I mean, who's in Walmart? No help in there?
I eventually found it.
On your own.
But I'm sure with that. In fact, I'm not sure because I'm getting older how I actually remember how this actually went. I think I finally broke down, and I think my daughter finally said, please. And I think I asked somebody, and I had walked by the aisle like 3 times where this thing was at. And from that life lesson I learned, I could have enjoyed it faster. I could have got my breakthrough sooner and quicker if I had just gone through, because I didn't understand that spiritual process, if I had just gone through that spiritual process of just being humble enough to find out that I am in need and I cannot do this thing by myself. You know what? That's how we got saved.
Wasting all that time.
We wasted all that time.
Would you do
that
different now?
Pardon me?
Would you do that different now?
You know,
I'm sorry.
You say that.
I wouldn't.
And I would do it different. I'm still going to start out the same. I want to see if I can do this thing on my own. That's just how I'm geared. But after I realized, after a couple of passes, I guess my maturity as a saint is I don't stay out there on my own too long. Once I come to the fact that I'm in need, I'll ask. I'll pray. I'll follow the steps. Because I'm too old to be wasting time.
See, in that story, too, I think about your daughter and the role she plays, which is a role we can play, which is to intervene so that you don't stay there for so long.
That's our role as saints.
Yeah.
But here's the other thing. David, through his sin, is dragging his people through this, and now they're all being impacted by his bad decision. My pride is dragging my daughter, who's with me, through this same arduous, because she could have been enjoying something sooner. So our mistakes or whatever impact more than just us.
Yeah.
We got generations
that
are impacted because we won't go through the process. So I think I would ask, especially if I got somebody else with me, because I don't want them to have to go through that because I'm too prideful. So here's the thing that's happening. If you're in a wilderness season, if you've lost some things, if you're going through a tough time, if you're on the road to recovery, I don't mean like some kind of drug abuse or addiction or something like that. Just you in recovery in a relationship. You in recovery on your job. You in recovery in your relationship with God or whatever. Expect some things to happen. But we were never designed, or God's plan was never for us to go through this by ourselves. Because not only does the person who's going through need to know that they're not in this by themselves, the people who are with them will get blessed too because of what we see them going through.
been praying for Nina and Renee all week. Every day of the week. Glad that they're here today. The one thing out of this story that we must be able to apply, because I'm trying to get to the next level and trying to take some folk with me. I know they know that God said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. I know they know that God is with them on this thing. But they need to know that they've got people and they are not going through this thing by themselves.
That's right.
That's what this story is showing. They don't ever need to feel like they are alone out there. They need to know that there's somebody else going through this with them. And regardless of how this thing plays out, the encouragement that we give as they go through, regardless of how this thing plays out, will be a testimony and God will give glory no matter how this thing plays out, because we'll see how they're going through it. And it'll be a testimony for somebody. I know it is for me.
Maybe that's why he put Adam in the garden and said, it's not good for man to be alone. Maybe that's why the preacher said in Ecclesiastes, two is better than one. And a threefold cord, not easily broken. And that's the role of the church. And if you have a church, maybe even this class, that doesn't bind together as a group and a team, I can get up here and preach and teach all day long. We'll be missing the essence of what God wants us to do as part of the plan. Pause for effect. Let's keep going. Verse 7. Oh, wait a minute. He's throwing rocks, but he's surrounded. That means, oh my goodness. That means that because he's surrounded, Shimei is going to have a really hard time trying to hit him because he's surrounded. That's the joy of having others with you. Because it's harder for the enemy to hit you.
Amen.
Come on now. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Because you have other people with you to lift you up.
It's ironic that they're throwing a stone at the best stone thrower in the land.
I'm writing that down. They are throwing stones at the best stone thrower in the land. All right. Crazyville. All right, let's see what what Shimei says. All right. Verse 7, and thus says Shimei when he cursed, come out, thou bloody man, thou man of Belial, which means of wickedness, you wicked rascal. The Lord hath returned upon thee all the blood of the house of Saul in whose stead thou hast reigned. Well, he got one piece right. He didn't reign instead of Saul, but he never killed anybody from the house of Saul. So he's lying.
Just the opposite.
Yes, he spared Saul, spared Mephibosheth.
Yeah.
He's looking to bless the house of Saul. I can't stand when people focus on one thing, extrapolate upon that, and then come up with all this conjecture and lies or whatever off a little bit of truth, and then say, it's the Lord. Because that's basically what he said is, it's the Lord. And he's turning around because you did this, that, and the other. He didn't do all this. So don't get confused if somebody says, the Lord said this, because everybody who says, the Lord said this, or I feel led by the Spirit, ain't always led by the Spirit, and ain't always the Lord.
Amen.
I remember my wife came home one day and she said, there was a prophet in the church. And I know I told this story before, but I like to tell it again. There was a prophet in the church. He said, we're going to drive a Lexus. I'm like, who? What? She's a prophet. I'm like, who? I started shaking. Who? Hey, that must have been from the Lord. I guess I'm going to drive a Lexus one day. But there's only one problem with that. I don't like Lexus. Because I'm a Benz guy. It's just not for me. A Toyota on a supersized body. I mean, it's all right. It's not necessary, but it wasn't for me. So the problem with that is because somebody said it's the Lord, I kept trying to fit myself into this Lexus. I went by the Lexus dealer from time to time. I guess God's going to move because somebody said the Lord's going to move. I'm looking around there. This ain't working for me. You know how much time I spent? Just couldn't sleep at night. Damn, like it. I just want to put it in. And finally, after about a couple of months of this, I went back to the wife. I was like, you know, I just ain't feeling this Lexus thing. I'm a Benz guy. I don't get it. Oh, don't worry about it. She's a false prophet. You can tell when somebody is speaking under the unction of the Holy Spirit, and if it really comes from the Lord. One, it will agree with your spirit, which is why you really want to make sure that you up here. But two, it will line up with the Word of God. If it doesn't line up with the Word of God, it probably ain't from Him. So here we go. And the Lord hath delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom, thy son. No, not really. And behold, thou art taken in thy mischief. Now, that's true. Because thou art a bloody man. So, don't be surprised if some people say some things about you that just aren't true. But they say it because it's kind of wrapped around a little bit of truth. Here we go, verse 9. Then said Abishai, oh, wait a minute, and you still have people like Shimei still out there. Still do the same thing. Tell you something that's not right and tell you it's from the Lord. Still happens. Verse 9. Then said Abishai, the son of Zariah, unto the king, why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over, I pray thee, and take off his head. I like these kind of guys. If I wasn't in right standing with God, if I wasn't at level 4 or whatever, I would say to Abishai, are you going to go over there and pluck off his head for talking about me? For throwing stones at me? Go forth, my son, and pluck off his head. Go over there. I'll drive and chip in on the gas. And you've got people like this, too.
Yeah. I'm like, yeah, go ahead, do it.
You want me to do it? Yeah. All right. So they got this thing called Next Door. And every now and then I'll look at it or whatever. It's a nice little thing. I got this Next Door app or whatever. And since we're recording, I ain't going to say the name of the church or whatever. But somebody put a post out there. Some lady put a post out there. And it was about the traffic situation. You're like, oh, the traffic is just so bad. This church has got something going on during rush hour in the morning or whatever, and the traffic is buying up. I can't even take my kids to school because they done blocked the roads off here or there or whatever. Can anybody do anything about this? Why they got to have, you know, a church service at 7 o'clock in the morning in the first place, just tying stuff up or whatever, and the traffic. So people started responding. And I don't know if they were members of the church or not, but the members of the church started responding saying, oh, they got prayer. It's prayer service or whatever. We do this like once or twice a year or whatever, prayer service or whatever. And, sorry for your inconvenience, but bottom line, you are more than welcome to come and pray with us. Why y'all left? All right. So And so then somebody else came in because she's like, well, you know, some people jumped in on her, on the other lady's side, and like, well, I don't know why. Why can't they pray at another time of the day that ain't during the rush hour or whatever? And then somebody else jumped in and said, look here, this city needs prayer. Amen. This city needs prayer. The country needs prayer. And your little inconvenience waiting at a stoplight ain't going to trump the greater need of this city. Just go on and suck it up, buttercup. And why don't you come on and join us? Now it's going all back and forth. I'm looking at this. I barely say anything on these types of things. I usually get my popcorn and just watch the show. But now this thing is bothering me. Because this is in effect. And I'm thinking about this story, and I'm like, oh, I recognize this spirit. It's the spirit of Abishai. What you talking about, Chuck? Because you have put your mouth where you're complaining against what the church is doing, and now it's like, they don't even go here, and now they're talking about what we're good and the good we're trying to do. Let me go over here and cut your head off. Or like Peter in the garden. Let me just cut your ear off. Or like the sons of thunder in the Bible. Oh, they ain't going to let you stay here, Jesus? Shall we call down fire and just take them out and just smoke these rascals? So I get it. I got friends. I got friends that I love so much, and they come and tell me, you know, I'm going through, I'm having trouble with this guy. Oh, that's no problem. I know what he drives. If he keeps messing with you, he could be on four flats. I know how to do that. I haven't been saved all my life. That thought will come through my mind for about 5 seconds or whatever, and I realize that it's not, that's probably, I'm probably not on the map, amen. I need to get back on the map. So I commented on next door, and I just kind of said, hey, you know, I'm kind of grieved by all of this. I'm like, let me just ask you a question. Sometimes when you got that, you just got to ask the question. Here's the question I put to him. What is the best way to do this? By saying, just put your, you know, your big girl pants on and just suck it up and come join us? Or would the better response be, hey, we're sorry that you were inconvenienced. We'll talk to our leadership and see, and we'll talk to the Montgomery Police Department, and we'll just kind of see if there's another way that we can restructure this or whatever so you won't be inconvenienced. We apologize. This is why we're doing this or whatever. But you know what? And if we can't resolve it, it only lasts this long, but we still do welcome you to come. Mm-hmm. Which way brings God glory? In the argument on next door. Got squashed. What level was I when I put that post in there? Oh, level 4? And maybe even over to 5.
I think 6.
Because we're getting victory out of this thing. I'm doing level 5 because level 5 mercy gets me so much closer to victory. And now we got victory and the enemy is defeated because the enemy's having a field day. You can want something good for the kingdom and you can be protective of something the wrong way. And then I got like 25, 30 likes. And I felt so good. And then every now and then I would go back and check to see how many more likes I got. Where was I at? Because sometimes your success and victory can roll you right off the map again. Because it's only through the grace of God and going through these steps or whatever that I was able to go on and do what I wanted to do in the first place. I had to repent. You see how easy it is to get off? Verse 10. I love this. Abishai said, let me go over here and just take his head off. I like those kind of guys. Verse 10. And the king said, what have I to do with you, ye sons of Zariah? So let him curse. Because the Lord hath said unto him, curse David. Who shall then say, wherefore hast thou done so? David's saying, let him curse. He said the Lord led him to do it. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. We'll find out soon enough. If the Lord told him to do it, who am I? Who am I? Let him curse. Verse 11. Ah, this is nice. And David said to Abishai and to all his servants, behold, my son. Behold, my son, which came forth out of my bowels, seeketh my life. How much more now may this Benjamite do it? Okay, let me put the question to you. He says, my son, my flesh and blood is trying to kill me. Question. Is what this guy is saying and doing and working against me, is that going to trump that? Is that going to be greater than that? I'm going through tougher times, and now I'm supposed to be tripping because this guy doesn't like me? So he's putting it in perspective. Let him alone. Let him curse. For the Lord hath bidden him. What he's saying is, a whole lot worse has happened to me than this guy just cussing me out. Verse 12. It may be that the Lord will look upon my affliction, and that the Lord will requite me good for his cursing this day. So David comes back and says, I don't have time to worry about what this guy's doing. As harmful and as hurtful as it is, I don't have time to worry about this. I've gone through greater things. I'm going through something else. So I don't have time to worry about this. Let it go. Perhaps God will see what I'm going through and how unjust this is and give me mercy. You got to go through humble, step one, repenting, step two, three, worshiping and connecting with Christ, and then four, the power of the Holy Spirit. And the power of that Holy Spirit is God puts something inside of you through his life and through the power of the Spirit, his relationship with you, to let you know that you can do things that you were never able to do before. Extend kindness to somebody who's working against you. And now that's step five, mercy. That's the fifth beatitude. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. The fifth step in your... So David is clearly at step five, because he could have, rightly so, had told Abishai, I don't know why you even asked me. You should already be hacking at his neck. Give him mercy, because my pride is gone, my hope is in the Lord, and I'm giving him mercy because maybe God will see what I'm going through and give me mercy. And when you get to step five, guess what? You're only a few spaces away from victory and where God wants you. Got it? There's something key here. Do you see it in verse 11? Let me read it for you. And David said to Abishai and to all his servants. Who is he talking to? Abishai. And to who else? All his servants. Now I'm going to do what Roger did. He put Jesus in the story. Let's put Jesus in the story. If David is a type of Christ,
Why does David want to tell it to everybody that's with him and not just Abishai? Abishai was the only one who said, let me go over here and take his head off. Why does David want everybody else with him in the crowd to know what he just said? Think about it.
So they won't go take his head off, or so good.
Yes, because they're going through it too. Shimei is not just throwing rocks at David; he's throwing rocks at them because they're with him. He's not just cursing at David, but he's cursing at them because they're with him. I've seen churches do this where, oh, you're not with our church anymore. We're going to talk about you because you're not with us anymore. I've seen the reverse where they say, oh, you're still at that church? Oh, we're going to talk about you because you're still there and you're still with them. So he's telling them to everybody because everybody's going through this tough time with David. And he says, and this is the attitude, not just for Abishai, because Abishai is the outspoken one, but he's saying it to everybody else who's thinking it on the inside. Ooh, if I had the ability, I'd run over there and I'd shut you up. So if he's talking to everybody back then, let me try again. Do I have any followers of the king in the house? Then he's saying it not just to them thousands of years ago, but he's saying the same thing to us. When people come against you and don't tell you what you want to hear or they come against you, there are greater things and tougher things that we've been through. It pales in comparison to what God wants to do for us. Just let it go. Perhaps God will give you mercy. If you ever read and know the rest of the story, Shimei, bless you, is going to get his in the end. Let God take care of it. Because he still said, vengeance is mine. And that way you can let God get him back and you stay out of jail. All right, let's go.
I mean, Genesis, where God first became the ultimate payment of good to man.
Amen.
He wasn't cursing humankind, who's cursing the action.
Yep, the action, the situation. Yep.
How can you receive blessings when you have thoughts of killing somebody?
How can you receive blessings when you have thoughts of killing somebody? Absolutely. And here's, you know what? And here's the other reason why he's saying it to everybody. While Abishai was the outspoken one, the one who was getting ready to try to do it, there might have been somebody else who might have been thinking it in their heart. And God works from the inside out. And if you have that in your heart, and he knows that's in your heart, it's going to be hard for him to bring the manifestation in your life of the fullness of his joy.
Mm-hmm. What a good leader that is. To put it on record, this is how I feel about it. There's no misunderstanding as we go forward. This is how I feel.
Only a person who's gone through the process and the pride has been buried so that God can do a great work through that servant leader. And let me get to a good stopping off point. Verse 13, and David and his men went by the way. Shimei went along the hillside over against him and cursed as he went and threw stones at him and cast dust. Yeah. Sometimes your persecution may last a little longer than you expected. You might have thought that it would have ended by now. Sometimes you wake up the next day and it's still there. But the good thing is, David's people are still there too. And if you know where you are, don't go back. Keep going forward. I just said something.
Shimei is still cursing and throwing stuff at him. But what are the people doing?
Moving forward.
They're still moving forward. They don't let that opposition keep them from moving forward. Did you hear what I said? He's still moving toward level 6 and level 7 to get God's best. The servants are still pushing forward. They're pushing past this. And the reason why they're able to push past this is because we're not going to let what they think about us and what they say about us keep us from what God has for us. I'm still trying to get my stuff back. I'm still trying to get to where God wants me to be. It's another level of persecution, and he's saying, you know what? If I'm getting through the Absalom thing, this is nothing. It hurts me when I sit on this and think about it, but it's just a butt pimple. Bust it and go. Let's go. That is kind of graphic. Verse 14. And the king and all the people that were with him came weary and refreshed themselves there. Talk to me. That verse is powerful. Let me ask you a question. Where are they? Yeah, around right there in Jordan. Yeah. Still in the wilderness.
And the most important thing, though, is they were with him.
They were with him.
That's the important part.
That is the important part. They were with him, but they got tired. Along the journey, they got weary. Are they still in a good place relationally with the Lord?
Yes.
Are they still in a good place spiritually with the Lord? I know physically it looks bad, but spiritually they're better off than they were in the physical. I know that sounds crazy. I want everything in the physical to be lined up. I was praying today, felt a little ache in my body or whatever. I'm like, you know, Lord, I want good health. I want good health. And I want good health for my friends. Keep stuff off of me. But even if I have to go through something, don't take your joy and your spirit from me. Because what I have in him is more important than anything I'll ever have here.
Amen.
And if I have him, then I'll get the stuff down here anyway. I'll get the peace anyway. I'll get the joy. I'll get it anyway. But, man, you can get tired. You can get tired of crazy people. You can get tired of crazy relatives. Everybody got one. I know I got one. Maybe I got one of yours, too. I don't know. You get tired. You just get tired.
But sometimes the hardest thing to do is stop and rest and be refreshed.
But that's the key here. It's part of the process. God, as you go through and you execute mercy and you go through these steps of the process, he will refresh you right where you are. In your trouble, in your sickness, in your job, in your broke relationship, he will refresh you right there. When you get tired, he will refresh you right there. When you get dry and you can't find relief, he said, I'll bring you waters of living water from inside that you can tap in, that you'll never thirst and never run dry. He puts something in you so that you can tap into that power. And when you get tired, he'll give you rest. Just don't give up and don't stop. You're too close to level 6. I think that's a good stopping off point right there. I hope there was something here that helps you. But you know what? I'm just so crazy that, you know what? If you want to get, if we do, I wrote this down in my quiet time as I was looking at this. Blessed are the persecuted for righteousness. But when you get at level 4, and you get that level 4 attitude, you get that level 4 power to deal with your haters. And I wrote this. How you go through the wilderness and the recovery stage may determine your expiration date for this season.
Yes.
if we go through this like David went through this, we'll get what David got. And we are not in this by ourselves. Amen? Any questions before we close? Thoughts, comments?
Thank you.
I'll just say that David, he denied himself.